All right, today we're going to talk about one of the most difficult subjects or narratives in the entire Torah. Most rabbis like to ignore this or dance around it or jump over it because it's difficult to explain. Plain and simple. Two brothers, two sons of Yaakov, massacre an entire city. That's the story. And it seems so distinctly un-Jewish. It seems so terrible. We have to understand this. So what really happened over there? Chapter 34. And we're going to pick it up at verse 25. Let me bring you up to date. Dinah, Father Jacob's only daughter, went for a walk. She wanted to meet some other girls. She's growing up in a house full of boys. The crown prince, who was often on the prowl, he's a sexual predator, and apparently he would rape women at will, and everybody was terrified of him. But anyway, they kind of approved of his behavior. They were okay with this. They thought it was okay for a crown prince to be a rapist. He's the guy who runs the whole city, because when Yaakov Avinu wants to buy the land, he doesn't buy it from Chamor, but rather he buys it from Shechem. And the city gets named after him. So this guy is really, he's a famous dude. He's very well respected. His behavior is not only condoned, it's even feted. And he, unfortunately, sees Dina, and he catches his eye. He abducts her. He violently rapes her in a number of different ways. And then the tzaddik comes and says, I'd like to marry your daughter. Let's be at peace. It wasn't as if he said, okay, Dina has a choice. She can either stay with me or she can go home to you. No, there was no option over here. You will not see Dina again unless you agree. Here's the choice. Either you agree to my terms, I marry her, and then we're friends. And if you don't agree to my choice, then she still stays with me. So really, the sons of Jacob faced an impossible choice. Jacob faced an impossible choice. What are they supposed to say? Take our daughter and go? So with guile and with cunning, they say, oh, you want to marry our daughter? That's very nice. But you have to be circumcised. We are Hebrews. Without circumcision, it's not going to go. And so Hamor agrees, and Shechem agrees, and the whole city agrees. They'll all be circumcised, or in their terminology, mutilated, in order to give the crown prince what he wants. So the rapist can get away with his rape, and she can be treated as if this was a normal shidduch. You know, a normal, they went dating online and met each other, and they consensual arrangement. So this is where the story opens up. They were all circumcised, all the people. Verse 25, Ahiba Yem Ashlishi, was the third day, Bihiyotam Ko'avim, when they were in pain. Vayikru Shnei Bnei Yaakov, two sons of Yaakov, Shimon and Levi. Incidentally, Levi was just bar mitzvah. Achei Dina, these are the brothers of Dina, for they came to her defense. Ish Charbo, each took his sword. Vayavo Al Ha'ir Betach, they came to the city feeling very secure. Vayahargu kol zachar, they massacred every single male. So why did they come on the third day? What's up with the third day? The third day, bihiyotam koavim. So the Targum renders it. He says, on the third day after any kind of procedure or surgery, that's when people will most be in pain. So this was the third day after the bris milah, and that's why they were in a lot of pain. The Chizkuni says, but they care about the pain. They just want to incapacitate them. Can't go to war when you had a circumcision. So why do they have to wait? They were like torturing the people. He says there was a lot of people in the city, and the children of Yaakov very, very busy. It took them actually 2 days. So the third day, when they're finished doing all the circumcisions, then they came to rescue their sister. The Torah says the truth is they wanted to go to war right away. But this was something that they did very deliberately. This talked about this and talked for 3 days. They talked about every possible option, how we will rescue Dina. How do we get it? How do we not get involved in violence? How do we avoid coming into a confrontation? We know this is going to lead to mortal consequences. And on the third day, they could not come to any other solution. And so, this is the third day. And in fact, that's how Abarbanel says it. He says, the third day after the rape. On the first day, she was raped. On the second day, they had this negotiation. On the third day, they did the bris milah, and that's when they went, and they came, and the second day, pardon me, they negotiated, did the bris milah, and the next day, Yaakov's sons did what they did. Why were they so short? It says they came. Why were they in pain? Why does the Torah tell us about their pain? So the Medrash says, as soon as they got circumcised, they regretted getting circumcised. So the pain was not just a physical pain, the pain was also the pain of, they were just upset about this. So what did we agree to this for? This was stupid. We should have just taken Dina. We shouldn't have been nice to the people. We could do whatever we want. We should have massacred them and finished. That's what they were thinking. And Bayem HaShlishi, according to the Beinu Bachaya, he emphasizes, once again, he follows the Targum. He says on the third day, that's what would be the most pain. Therefore, the most or greatest level of incapacitation. And they come Betach. Why did they come Betach? They came Betach because they were sure that they were not doing the wrong thing. The Balei HaTosfos say that these are people who accepted upon themselves to be circumcised and no longer to worship idols. The second day, they were already worshiping idols. So he says, so this was not a sincere, it's not like they joined the Jewish people maybe for bad reasons to begin with, but now they joined the Jewish people. No, he says, to begin with, this was a sham. The Chizkuni says they were not afraid to come to the city because they were not going to be looked at as enemies. Nobody was going to notice anything wrong. They've been there for the last 2 days with swords and knives. They've been doing circumcision for the last 3 days. So now they came. They were very comfortable. Nikolai Yarker says something chilling. He says, what should they have been afraid of? One of the local cities, one of the local allies will come and defend the honor of this people. They said that we're not afraid anymore. Why? Because the people of Shechem already got circumcised. They would look at them as Jewish already. Nobody cares about that Jew, they said. Now there's no issue. Before there was an issue, now there's no issue. I'm giving you just like a smattering of stuff that's on the surface. There's much, much deeper stuff. The Yargu called Zohar, they killed every male. Why did they do this? Rabbeinu Bechaya quotes the Rambam, who goes through a detailed analysis of the seven Noahide laws and demonstrates to you how, according to the legalities, they were Ochayiv Misa. So they killed people who actually were, according to the legal code, convicted and guilty of murder. But the Or HaChaim puts it most amazingly. He says they did not come to massacre the whole city. They came to rescue their sister. Their sister was abducted. Their sister was violently raped. They never got a chance. They didn't say Dina can leave if she wants. They said she has no choice. She's staying with us. So they came to rescue the sister. And as soon as they saw that they killed Shechem and Hamor, they came to kill the leadership, that's all. The people said, what? You're not taking her over our dead body. Shimon Levi said, if you want, you're not taking her. Then we'll have to kill you over our dead bodies. Fine, have it your way. And that's why they killed Kol Zachar, because Kol Zachar was coming to defend the honor of the rapist who deserved to be killed. So that's what they did. And they rescued the sister. Verse 26, V'yes Chamor, V'yes Shechem b'no, Chamor and Shechem, the old foolish leader, old foolish king, and his son, the capricious, devilish crown prince, Hargu l'fichorev, they killed by sword, V'yikhu es dina, and then they took dinim, mi'beis Shechem, from the house of Shechem, v'yitzeo. So this makes perfect sense. When you read the pasuk and you have in mind what the Or HaChaim said, that's the most natural thing to do. They took Dina. They came, they killed Chamor and Shechem because they wanted to take Dina. They killed Kol Zachar because Kol Zachar got in their way and didn't allow them to take Dina freely. Verse 27. B'nei Yaakov bo achalalim. They came upon the remains of what was there vayavizor, and they plundered the city. Asher timo achaysom. Why did they plunder the city? It says Or HaChaim, there's halachas of Dmei Boishas. This was instead of a lawsuit. Dina was ravished and raped and violently hurt. She had some kind of compensation coming to her. They didn't give the compensation. They didn't even try to help her. The final problem, they said, we'll compensate Dina. At least money will never be a worry of hers again. Ha'ir Asher Timu, the city, the Sepharno points out the whole city was in on this. They were fine with Shechem's behavior. They thought this was cool. Found a Jewish girl, raped her, great, now turn her into a Canaanite, life is good. They were all ultimately complicit. And because they were complicit, they were all guilty of the same crime. And because they were guilty of the crime, this is a crime which, according to the Torah, is punishable with a capital offense. So they simply carried out the rule. There was no police to report to. This was the police doing it. Who should they have spoken to? Then what did they do? Then after taking the plundering the city, so then they took everything. They took all their livestock, all their cattle, they let it all out of the city, they let everything back to the where they were. It's kol asher ba'ir, it's asher basada, anything that was in the city, anything that was in the field, lekachu. And they even took the tapam, the children, nashem, the women, as maidservants, the bondspeople, vayavizu, and they plundered everything. Yes, kol asher ba'ir, everything that was in the home. That was the deed. Verse 30, they come home after this dastardly, remarkably bloody afternoon. Yaakov turns around to Shimon and Levi, and he says, "Achar temaisi, you have clouded me. We're going to be attacked from all sides now. The people are going to massacre us. Vanim same mispar, we are just a few people. A few Jews, Venesva, alive, he couldn't even Ishmartani Obesi. Your deeds have put not only have you rescued Dina, you have put an end to the Jewish people because we are going to be massacred and that will be the end." Chalas, finished. And what's their response? Vayim Rudei said, Hachazeni Ases Achisenu. What, do you want a sister to be like a harlot? She should be raped and nobody cares? You just turn your back and look the other way? What do you want us to do? That's what happened. Now, the Or HaChaim asked the question, what, did Yaakov not know what they were planning to do? They were busy strapping on swords and they were heading into the city and Yaakov thought they were going for a picnic? What did he say? What did you do? What do you think? So the Or HaChaim says he thought they were going to kill Shechem and Hamor and rescue the sister, and that's normal. He said that he expected. He came home, they plundered the whole city, they massacred the whole city. He says, you guys are lunatics. You're crazy, violent Mishagoyim. What'd you do? I don't know if we know how many people. I'm not going to say no because maybe there is a number somewhere. But it was not a pretty number. He said, what did you do? You wanted to rescue Dina. So the Or HaChaim says, they said, what were we supposed to do? What were we supposed to do? We came to these lunatics surrounded us. They refused to let us leave. We had no choice. We had to fight our way out. Every single man came over there limping over there after the circumcision. And they didn't let us go. So we did what we could do. What did you want us to do? This is the story. Now, there's a lot more to be said, and we're in a limited time budget today, as I say. But at least you understand, this is not just a violent and crazed massacre, and it was unjustified. It's entirely not so simple. Dina was raped. She was abducted. She was not being allowed to leave. They had to rescue their own sister. They turned the back of the sister. What were they supposed to do? According to the halacha, Shechem, the rapist, was guilty of an act for which a capital punishment applied. They came to carry it out. The Rebbe, in his analysis of this story, page Kuf Mem Tes, Rambam Kosav, the Rambam writes, and this is the Rambam that Rebbeinu Bechaya builds his whole thesis on, Shasibas harigosam shel anshei Shechem, that the reason that the people of Shechem were massacred, they were all guilty. Shaharei Shechem gozal, Shechem raped, he abducted her, he kidnapped her. Vehimro, they saw. Veyadu, they knew. Veloi dinahu, they did not bring him to the court system. The court system failed. And it was, everybody was complicit. Everybody was into this. Nobody had an issue with it. Vehokshal kachar advaz. So after Ramban builds his legal case that Shimon and Levi did what was legally correct, so the advaz says, well, in that case, madua hirchiach yankiv Shimon and Levi. So why did Father Jacob, why did he rebuke them? They did the right thing. They followed the law. It's not lawless. It was a lawful thing they did. So if it was a lawful thing, why did he rebuke them? Now the Or HaChaim has the answer, which we shared. The Or HaChaim says that we didn't intend to do this. But the Rebbe says, Yesh Leimar, without going in the direction, Or HaChaim has a chiddush, like a novel approach. He says that they didn't intend to kill everybody. Everybody got in the way. The Rambam doesn't say that. The Vaz doesn't say that. So the Rebbe suggests like this. Tainus Yankiv, Lehoisa Klapi Etzem Harigosim Shlancheshchem. Yes, these people were guilty of capital offenses. A whole city that participates in the abduction and rape of a young woman. Yes, they could all be convicted. But that's not what the issue was. The issue was not they deserve to die. The issue was Al HaDerech, the way that they did it. Nasa Adover. This caused a tremendous, tremendous chil Hashem. All of the peoples around us said, look what the Jews do. Look what the Jews do. Acharta maisi, you clouded me over, like Rashi explains. Vahavisheni b'yeshvaris, you left me out here to dry for all the nations who are here in the land. And this could be explained, the Rebbe says, in two ways. Number one, Yankiv Sover, Father Jacob, agreed after their deliberations. He wasn't arguing with them on the legalities of the case. Sha'al av b'nei Shechem, hayu chayav misa, that they were indeed, even if one could argue that they were guilty of being of a terrible crime for which they should put to death, maybe. But me'achash b'poel ha'derech ha'yechidi, la'hergam ha'isa b'mirma, since the only way to carry out this punishment would be in a deceitful way, in an underhanded, cunning way, by first telling them to circumcise themselves so they couldn't defend themselves, and only afterwards going to kill them. He says, then they shouldn't have done this. There's no choice. But you don't carry out the law using dubious and doubtful methods. That bothered Yaakov. It wasn't what was done, it was how it was done.
Isn't there a rule that you have to be seeing the rape in order to kill?
Not necessarily. And nobody doubted this happened. Nobody said maybe this didn't happen. Shechem came along. He said, "Wish me mazel tov. I abducted your daughter. I violently raped your daughter, and now I'm going to marry her. And you're going to say, yeah."
There's something more deep into that.
Well, there's something more deep because if we didn't have a chance to learn, but if you read the earlier verses, they said to Jacob, his children, made a deal with them. You'll become part of us. Well, you'll marry who you want. We'll marry who we want. We'll become one nation. But actually, when Shechem and Hamor sold it to the people, they didn't tell them that. They said, we will control these people. We raped it. We abducted the daughter. We raped her. We'll play along with them just for the circumcision. But after, we will control these people. The Jewish people, Yaakov and his children, had no way out. There was not another option. The only other option was turn their back on Dina and just walk away. And that wasn't an option for them. So we find this, that there's sometimes when even there's the right thing to be done, but when the methodology becomes questionable, that we avoid getting involved. And this is an example that we have with regard to a nation who was known as the Gibbonites, the Givonim. So the Gemara Gittin talks about this at length. And it says, Sha'af shalifi dini ha-Torah, yubnei Yisrael chayovim lahergam, even though they in fact had lied to the Jewish people when they made a treaty with them, and they were in fact in the line of fire, but since they made a deal, and since you entered into a covenant, even if the deal was accomplished under deceitful methods and under lack of truth, nonetheless, they honored their agreement. So we see an example for honoring agreements, even when legally one could prosecute the case to the fullest extent. Number two, base. Yaakov said, in order to avoid the idea of Chilul Hashem, then Shimon and Levi should have come in Bereish Galoy. They should have come in openly. Say, we are going to kill you because of what you did. Le'idia b'farhesya, to send a message out, Shehei Muchul Yovim Misa. They're obligated to be killed. And go out in an open war. How are you going to do that? It's a little family, a bunch of teenagers. You fight a whole city. You have trust in Hashem, he said. So, trust in Hashem. You know you're doing the right thing. Then go to war, and Hashem will take care of you. And Shimon Levi said, you know, it's very easy to understand. Lepidus said, Yuvah Madua Shimon Levi no lagukach. They did not. They were not ready to agree with this. They didn't even think of doing that, because ba'avanis nusam, in their humility, they did not believe that they were worthy of a miracle, and they said, Hashem's not going to save us. We have to do what we have to do in natural means. So Yaakov Avinu, elderly tzaddik, full faith in Hashem, he says, if they're guilty, they're guilty, we declare war on them, and we will succeed. Shimon Levi said, we're not so sure that God is doing miracles like that for us. Our sister was raped. She's not being let out. We need to rescue her. We're going to do what we have to do. And that's what they did, what they had to do. And that was really the big disagreement between Yaakov and his children. But insofar as the act itself, they committed a crime that was prosecutable fully by the law, and they deserve death. Shechem deserved death. Hamor, who is a complicit, because in the Teven Noachai laws, if you commit a crime, or if you are part of committing a crime, or you're an aid to committing the crime, then you're guilty of the same, if you stand in the way of justice. and they were all guilty of this crime as partners, and they were all guilty of obstruction of justice. That is the approach of Maimonides. And as such, Shimon HaLevi did what Shimon HaLevi had to do. And really, if you think about it, they had no choice. They had no choice. This was a terrible situation that they were put into. This is not different than the terrorists who have bombs, and they put them in the schools, in nursery schools. And Israel's no choice but to defend itself. Does Israel want to bomb nurseries, Chas v'Shalom? What choice are we left with? When the hostage taker causes a fatality amongst hostages, it's the police bullets that kill the hostage. It is not the police who are considered guilty, it's the hostage takers. Even if the actual bullet can be traced back to the guns of the police. Why? Because the police had no choice. They're doing what they had to do. My dear friends, Shimon HaLevi had no choice. There was no option. Dina had to be rescued. And she was not going to be allowed. This was not an Dina could or could not stay. And to make matters worse, Dina was a very young girl, had Stockholm Syndrome, was terrified to leave even. Even if after what she or her ordeal, she would have been allowed to go, and she probably wouldn't have gone on her own either. So now you have a little bit of an understanding into what happened over here. Hashem should help us. We shouldn't have to defend ourselves through violent means. Violence is anathema for the Jewish people. It's something we never, ever want to resort to. It's never our first approach. And we hope that if the world would just leave us alone, certainly the people in the Middle East would leave Israel alone, everything would be fine. As the famous story goes, or expression, if all the Arab armies of the Middle East would fold tomorrow, nothing would happen. If IDF Chas v'Shalom folded tomorrow, one shudders to think of the consequences. This is the reality that we have to deal with, and we're in a gullus existence. And when you're in a gullus existence, you have a sacred duty to your nation and your people first, and they must be defended at any cost. And that is the right path to be pursued by Israel's leadership. And we only hope and pray that the terrorists will be scared into stopping what they're doing. The Rebbe used to say, you know what the guarantee to security and peace in Israel is? The strongest IDF. Because the only thing that's going to work with people of this monstrous ideology, people who are being poisoned from the crib to hate and to maim and kill, the only thing that works is deterrence. That's what stopped the Cold War in the 60s. Mutually assured destruction. Deterrence. And the stronger the Israeli army is, the greater a deterrent we have that war should not, chas v'shalom, break out in the Middle East. V'Hashem Yivarech, es Amei Bashalom.